Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together, in one place, George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years' experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop. And now, live from their super-secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. If, again, you haven't figured it out yet. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Well, there's no BS tonight, though. We have a true star with us. Not that the other folks that we haven't had on aren't true stars, but big star tonight. Gal that's done it all is going to do more. Debbie Derryberry's our guest tonight.
Woohoo!
Voice of Jimmy Neutron.
And we have an audience tonight,
and
too.
And we have an audience. Show them the audience
shot. Look at this audience cam. Da 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 da.
Look at the audience. Yay! She didn't wear any blue tonight. That's good. Nice and orange. It's going to make it real easy to with the chroma key there.
She pops.
Yes. Anyway, plus we'll answer your questions on here. If you got a question, throw it in the chat room. I know Anthony is in there, and he'll in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and he will throw it to us, and we will read it on the air. Although we'd love to have people do it on, you know, on Zoom, so we can actually get your picture and your voice on there.
That's right.
Unless you're Howard Ellison, in which case talk and we just see your picture all the time, yeah. No matter what time of day you're on. But we'll get to that in a minute. But right now.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News. The latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news. Brought to you live.
All righty, here is the news for today. Off-road marketing. If you've been hiding in your voiceover garage in recent months, you might have heard how voiceover actor Kelly Buttrick has upped the ante in that Adweek magazine has called an impressive pitch in her attempt to attract a big new voiceover client, Jeep. Kelly created a series of 8 videos and snail mail campaign and targeted Jeep's people in hopes of luring them to a female voice. Will it work? Well, one voice actor comments on Facebook, "I hope not," says the person who actually does the voice for Jeep. But Kelly is getting lots of support, and you can catch up with it in all on Friday's VoiceOver Extra article. Of course, Kelly is learning a lot in this off-road marketing adventure. And in a new article just posted, she shares how you, too, can accelerate your voiceover marketing with an attention-grabbing approach. Could be risky and possibly expensive drive, but hop in if you want to learn Kelly's key points in an off-road marketing campaign, which are determine where you want to go. This sounds like an easy question, but it shouldn't. It shouldn't be. Hey, I need you to stop the teleprompter for a second there while you're futzing around. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, it's important to do all this stuff for the future. What's your idea? What's your vision? Become a trail expert. Learn the terrain by researching and dig up what's been done in the past. What worked, what didn't. Know the potential hazards ahead. Map it out if you know where you want to go. How will you get there? Detail the entire route. Equip the vehicle. How are you going to fuel this new marketing vehicle? Do you need a team to help you? What gear is required? Put it in gear. Action. Get your plan rolling. And finally, keep moving. You're going to hit potholes. Always be on the lookout for alternate routes. She'll be our guest on Monday, April 25th, by the way, here on VOBS, so you'll hear how she's doing with this.
Awesome.
That'd be cool. And you can read more about how Kelly does this, plus hundreds of more articles and how-to articles at voiceoverextra.com. So, go over there. Read voiceoverextra.com and check out Kelly. I can't wait till she's out. She's a great friend of ours.
Yes, she is.
We'll have a great time with her here, even though she's in Atlanta.
I think it's really fascinating how she's parlayed that into a gig, because she's been really big about her love of Jeep.
Yeah.
And socially, like, I see her posts about it all the time.
Well, she sort of, like, lives on the edges of Atlanta, so she needs a Jeep. So it's one of those things.
She just loves Jeep, I know.
Yeah, so... good for her.
Yeah, man. That's just, there's another way. There's another way to find.
Boy, talk about effort, though. Making videos. I mean, we're in a video culture, so you might as well do that. And that was good of her to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of stuff, you have a show and tell.
Gadget Show and Tell. Yeah, I do have a show and tell. There are certain pieces of gear that I've picked up over the years, at least picked up on over the years, that I find to be just bomb proof and reliable. And just have not been replaced in terms of better options out there. And this is one of them. This is the USB Pre 2.
Ooh.
It's made by Sound Devices. And I'll go into a tighter shot so everybody can see that better shot of it here. Is this a better shot? How about that one?
Ooh,
is that tighter?
Go. Right there.
Yeah. Anyway, the USB Pre 2. This little guy is basically like a super, super high quality. Like, this thing is made for field use quality Scarlett 2i2, for example.
All right.
It's a 2-mic preamp interface, you know, and it's not a lot really fancy device. It's got a really, really nice meter on the front. But everything on this thing that can be made out of metal is metal. The knobs are all metal. The gain knobs are metal. The headphone volume is metal. And buttons that you don't want to bump and move by mistake can be retracted into the unit. So if I show this shot here.
Are you watching Mark Cashman?
You can retract these into the unit. So once you've set them, you can forget them, which is what I love to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also got a tremendous amount of settings that are hard set through a series of dip switches. Another thing that I like.
Dip, 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 dip.
A couple reasons why this thing is fantastic. One, again, it is really made for travel. It can be used in a home studio, but can handle a lot of abuse. Sound quality is stellar. The company that makes this thing makes stuff for doing live or television or film production sound. So everything they made or make is designed to be used in a high abuse, high stress situation. It also has great sounding mic preamps. But another thing that really sets it apart from a lot of the other stuff in this class is it doesn't require any software of any kind except whatever you record with. It doesn't take any special drivers. You don't have to have a control panel. You don't have to worry about going into a screen and setting little settings on a screen. As long as this thing is set correctly, you're good to go. It remembers the settings every time you turn it on. It's just something you can totally rely on. So it's if you really want to buy the last audio interface you'll ever buy for working on the road, it's probably going to be one of these until they come out with a solo version, like a 1-mic preamp version, you know, because it does have 2 preamps. Debbie?
Does it have an XLR input as well?
Yeah. So it's got 2 microphone preamp inputs on this side, and it's got a headphone jack on this side. And on the back, not that you guys need this, but these are the outputs that would feed to a video camera if you're shooting for television or
a mixer
movie.
Or something.
Yeah, so it's got a few more things you don't need, but what it does have is really amazing preamps. It is built like a tank. This thing is all metal, everything on it's metal, except for the USB jack.
Another question from
fantastic.
The audience.
Another question from Debbie. Is it affordable?
What's the price point, George?
I was getting to the affordable part. It is not particularly affordable when you compare it to Scarlett 2i2s and things like that.
Yes.
This thing comes in with tax a hair under $1,000. So that's what I mean by this is sort of like the last one you kind of,
it's
this is the last one you're going
to
buy
afford, actually,
because you just don't need to replace this thing probably for years to come. And the company that makes the sound devices will support it for years to come as well.
How much does that thing weigh?
Check it out. It's not very heavy.
Not very heavy at all.
I mean, if they made a solo version that was half the price and still had, you know, a mic preamp, I would tell everybody to go get it. But it's really stellar. The reason I have this one is it's going into a kit for voice actor Miguel Ferrer. He has a 7-year-old version of this one, and that one is no longer supported on the new Mac computers. Thanks, Apple. But so he had to get this one, but it is really a beautiful device. Anyway, Sound Devices USB Pre 2 for somebody that doesn't like buying a lot of stuff over and over again and wants to rely on one thing for years.
That's something you'd buy if you just had gas.
It's a little pricey for a gear acquisition syndrome snag. Although I see people buy microphones like they're buying pencils.
Yeah, really.
It happens.
Yeah. By the way,
yeah.
Contractually, we have to say this.
Sure.
We'd like to thank our sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
For example, Harlan Hogan over at voiceoveressentials.com,
mm-hmm.
Edge Studio, your right. employers,
yep.
VoiceOver Extra, our fine friends over there, Source Elements, makers of
Source Connect,
and VO2GoGo.com, and Uncle Roy over at Antland Productions.
Jeez, get yourself a lot of sponsors.
Killer demo. That is correct.
Man.
So anyway, Debbie Derryberry is going to be with us in just a minute. Got questions for her? You got questions for us? Ask them. Will we answer them? We'll find out. But anyway, go into the chat room, throw it in there, and hopefully we'll get it to Debbie or to us or to the ether. Who knows? But we'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop with Debbie Derryberry and have lots of fun. So do not go away. We'll be right back.
Oh, do I have to do my commercial now?
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's a live read.
Yeah, it's a live read. Okay, okay. Let's do it. Speaking of Source Elements, they make this amazing thing called Source Connect. And the reason why we love Source Connect so much is because it's one of the best softwares that I've seen to date, and I have tried everything. It is one of the best things I've seen to date that will allow you to connect to another studio in real time and stream audio between studios. The sound quality you can get over Source Connect is stellar. I mean, it is rock solid, clean, and it will never shift quality on you ever. There's some other great technologies out there right now that are very affordable and very available, but some of those other technologies will not keep the sound quality consistent like Source Connect can. So if you're working in mission-critical situations with broadcast networks, national commercial campaigns, anything like that, you really want to use a tool that's trusted by recording engineers. This is the tool that's taking over for ISDN overall. It's the tool that's been used as a backup to ISDN for quite a few years now. And if you're playing with the big boys, you got to have it. Source Connect. You can go get it at sourceelements.com and get a 15-day free trial. All you need is an iLock, and they also do offer a monthly subscription plan, which I don't think needs an iLock. So if you don't have iLock, you can always get it and start using it right away. Anyway, that's Source Connect. Source Elements, thanks for sponsoring the show, and we will be right back with Debbie in just a moment.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated, too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at AntlandProductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
You're listening to VOBS.
Before time began, there was VOBS.TV. Watch or else.
It's a little tight there.
I like it
just
way.
Just a little bit. There we go. All right. Anyway, we'd like to welcome our guest, who's right next to me, and go after yourself there. Debbie Derryberry, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. Nice to see you. So nice to be here. Well, hi, everybody.
And here we are, standing on top of the Hollywood sign.
It's so windy looking, and cold up here.
I know. It's so warm in here, though. Anyway, it's great to have you. We had you on once before from your house when you had the pig.
Yeah.
The pig is no longer with us, though. Mimi the pig.
Yeah, she went to bacon heaven.
Oh, goodness gracious. Now, you're a busy person. You've got a new book out.
Yep.
You're voicing the voice of Lucky in Lucky's Tale, which is coming in a new video game.
Let's see. What else is going? You're in a new program called F is for Family. We had no NDR in that one.
I can talk about that. It's on Netflix.
Okay, cool.
Oh. I say bad words.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
And we can binge watch, too, right after House of Cards and stuff. And you sing and stuff. We're going to have all sorts of fun. This is going to be great. Now, there are a lot of great animation stars in primetime. I mean, guys like, you know, Tom Kenny and Seth MacFarlane, Billy West, Dan Castellaneta, Tara Strong, and Debbie Derryberry.
I can't believe I'm in that category.
No, but you, are you kidding? You're like, you know, they're here and you're like, you know, right there with them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. But how did you get involved in the entertainment business to achieve such greatness and such notoriety and getting so much work?
It's funny to hear you say that because I just feel like I'm just all schmaltz. I get up every day and feed my dogs. I actually was a pre-med at UCLA and... like, who was going to believe me? I'm going to take out your appendix. They'd be like, no, you're not. So I moved to Nashville to do country singing because I'm a singer. And no one gave me a job singing country. They gave me a job singing like a baby.
Yeah.
And someone said, maybe you should talk for animation. And I didn't even know that was a way to make a living. I just thought Fred Flintstone was I thought it came with the drawing. I didn't know.
It just depends talking.
So, next thing I knew, I was sending my jingle demo back to Los Angeles, where I hailed from. And then Jenny McSwain said, hey, come back. There is a place for you here in L.A. So she walked me into my agent, and I started working the next week, and that was like 30 years ago. I don't know.
It just hasn't stopped.
Hasn't stopped. But thank God there's a way to make a living when you sound like me.
Really? See, that's the important thing. If you're unique... that's what's going to sell. Be different.
Yes, you have to kind of not be afraid to be pigeonholed. You know, people want to cross every single border in voiceover or on camera as an actor. There's so many choices you can make.
Right.
And, you know, if they hire me for a cartoon, I will do, you know, I'll get cast for the kid,
right,
the little girl or the boy, and then I'll also get to do the villainess or the soldier or the dog. But... primarily, I have that niche, and you have to kind of sell that and go with that because there's so much stuff you could do out there. Like, I really tried to take John Bailey's job, but I couldn't.
You can't do that.
I can't do that. So I'm going to let John Bailey do that.
Okay, good.
And I'm going to handle the little girls that say bad words.
Ooh. Oh, that's great. Yeah, John is an amazing guy. Talk about a guy that can ad lib.
Right?
It's just unbelievable.
He's just amazing. And I just met John last year. I had him over to the house and we did a Vine video. And I honestly, I wasn't quite sure who he was yet, but a friend of mine
neither does
said,
he, so.
They said, you ought to meet this guy. And I just had a best time with him. And me and E.G. took him to a orangutan fundraiser event when he was in town. Ooh. And we're supposed to get together last week and have dinner. Good guy.
He is.
Yeah.
And now he's actually back in town. I think he's actually staying in town now for a while.
Yep.
Because I'm going to help him build his studio.
Yeah?
Yeah, lucky me.
He's lucky. He's really lucky. John, do you know that?
Yes. Video the whole thing so people can see how I work and help somebody set up a studio in their apartment or something like that. So that's going to be really cool. Okay. Now, a lot of people know you for Jimmy Neutron. What are some of the other series you've worked on over the years that we can that the kids watching would remember?
Let's see. There was one I did with Howie Mandel called Bobby's World.
Oh, yes.
Where I played his little girlfriend, Jackie. Mm-hmm. I call her my little monotone voice. She had the long pigtails. Mm-hmm. And her mom watched Sally Jesse Raphael. Right. And then I did one with John Astin of, I have this jacket, the Addams Family. Ooh. Do you remember the Addams Family?
Oh, yeah.
I played Wednesday, who also didn't have a lot of excitement in her voice. They've just been going and going. One with Louis Anderson called Life with Louis.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
And then I'm so excited about the... oh, wait, you're talking to me about the old ones. I have to talk about those.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay. So, Jumanji with Bill Fagerbakke. He played the, what's his name? And I was with Ashley. I forget her last name. She's so cute. Sorry, Ashley, I forgot your last name. That was a fun cartoon, Jumanji. And lots of video games. There was Tenchi Muyo, the animated, the anime one, and Zatch Bell, the And then Jimmy Neutron, of course.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy Neutron ran for quite a while. You know, I mean, it was, you know, of course, it was at the time when my kids were watching a lot of Nickelodeon. So yeah. It's like, oh, good, Jimmy Neutron's on again.
So, oh, good, he's putting that up to remind me what I've done.
That's right.
Thank you, George. That's right. Let's see. We see Nurgle Jr. from Billy and Mandy.
Yeah.
And there's Coco Bandicoots.
Yeah.
And there's...
one of my son's favorites.
Oh, yeah. There's Ape Escape, a Monkey Pink.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, there, that's a Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
I was going to say Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah. You know, Dick Beals, who was in Adam's Family with me, mm-hmm. and Rob Paulsen, Dick passed away. He was the original Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
Oh.
And so I got to take over for him, and that was kind of a short-lived revamp campaign, but that was still great.
Yeah, but it was like, hey, Speedy's alive again.
Yep.
It was great. I mean, I remember that. Hey, that's the exact voice.
Yep.
It was perfect. Can you do a little bit of it? Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
We didn't actually do the plop, plop, fizz, fizz. I might have said it, but then they were like,
yeah, no.
It's a cold juice. Something like that. Yeah, it should have lasted longer. Do you hear me, Bear?
Okay. So, you did Jimmy Neutron, which, yeah. What was it like working on a long-running series like that? Where and was that like, would you do like one a week, or was there, how does a series like that work?
Well, we started out with these things called interstitials that are like short things. It's kind of how The Simpsons started out. And they were just short, I don't know, 3 or 4 minute bits. And mm-hmm. then they said, well, now we're going to make a feature. When you audition for, I mean, we audition for pilots all the time. And you never really know what's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the interstitials. I was like, this is really funny. It's cute. And then so when they called and said, guess what? We're going to do a feature. And that was back in before the day when principal parts only went to on-camera celebrities. Sorry, on-camera celebrities, just quit taking our jobs. And so when I booked Jimmy, I was like, well, that's a first, because I had wanted to do little boy voices for a while, mm-hmm. and I had studied with Charlie Adler and Chris Zimmerman and Sue Blue. And so it was exciting to book that voice. And then they said, well, now we're going to do a feature. And then after the feature, it got nominated for an Oscar. And then we did the series. Well, we were doing the series before mm-hmm. that. And then the series did great. And it was the kind of series that, as a parent, you don't mind your kid watching it.
Because
had big words.
Right.
It was kind of smart.
Science.
Yeah. And the guy who created it, John Davis, he's almost just like Jimmy Neutron. He's like an astronomer. He's in Pasadena now. Hilarious guy. Anyway, I was so pleased he picked me. And then there were video games, and you never know what kind of legs a show is going to grow. But Jimmy Neutron has lasted all these years, and people come up to me at conventions, which I have to tell you the next conventions mm-hmm. I'm doing, and this is how it goes. Ready? It's mm-hmm. like, you have no idea. You don't know. My kids grew up on Jimmy Neutron. I love Jimmy Neutron, and it's so flattering every time
they
say it.
Didn't I just say that?
Yeah. But it's very flattering, and I'm honored, and I'm, you know, glad to be it.
Yeah. Well, it was a fun series. Now, who are some of the other cast members? I remember there was, you know, Carl, come here, llamas.
Yeah.
Remember
Rob Paulsen.
That was Rob Paulsen?
He doesn't voice of Carl. Yeah. What's he, the pants song he just made up on the spur of the moment. Rob, if you're out there, he's
brilliant. Guy. Yeah.
So, always so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Garcia, a stand-up comedian who always says bad words.
Mm-hmm.
But he's hilarious, Jeff. You're funny.
He was Shane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sheen. Mark
Sheen,
DiCarlo,
Sheen,
right, who was the guy from Studs. Remember Mark DiCarlo? Yes. He did the Bing Crosby father kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And Carolyn Lawrence, who is the voice of Sandy on SpongeBob. She played my girlfriend, Cindy Vortex.
Right.
It was a really great cast.
It was a great show.
Yeah.
And probably a fun bunch of people to work with. Well, I would imagine just working with Rob Paulsen would be worth it.
It's always fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we recorded probably once or twice a week. And really, we didn't do that many episodes. I think we only did a couple years. Record all at the same time.
As an ensemble.
Yeah. Currently, it's difficult to find a show that allows you to record all at once.
Yeah.
But at Nick, they have these different booths they'll set up with sound walls. And you get to kind of not always talk over each other, but you can. And then, you know, Justin, the engineer over there, he's no wonder he's won all these awards. He's like Mr. Button Pusher. He's pretty amazing. It's a different experience when you get to record all at the same time. Yeah. We did that at the Addams Family. We did it on Bobby's World. And Howie wanted us to overlap each other, which you pretty much don't get to do.
Right.
And video games, you never get to work with the people you're working with. It's always just you. Well, in my experience.
Right. Now, now video games are big now. I'm big. I mean, it's taking over, I think, in sales from movies and stuff like that.
It is.
What kind of stuff are you working on there?
Well, here's the exciting part.
Oh, good.
The new gaming platform is a virtual reality VR, and it's a 360 VR, and it's called Oculus Rift. And it's going to take the place of Xbox 360, I mean, the PlayStation and the Wii, and am I saying it right? And so the next one you're going to have to buy your kids is the Oculus Rift with a decent little price tag. And the game that comes bundled with it, you know how Mario Brothers came bundled with, was it the Wii? Or one of those platforms.
Yeah, it was Nintendo Wii.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got Mario Brothers when you bought the platform. Well, the game that comes with Oculus Rift is called Lucky's Tale. And I'm the voice of Lucky, which is this little kind of, if you want to show that picture again, I will show you the picture of Lucky. He's like a fox, a little kid, and I don't really get to talk big words. See, he's right next to Jimmy Neutron there, to the right of Neutron.
I see him, yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of is like, and it's just making noises.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting, though. I mean, they'll be like, okay, Debbie's going to jump and do a double flip. So give me a double flip and a land. So give me 8 takes of a double flip and a land. So it's exhausting after you're done, but it's so much fun. But get this, the guys who made it, the same people that made, drumroll, Words with Friends.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, my wife likes hearing that one.
Marcy. Paul Bettner and his company Playful made this amazing Words with Friends, and now they made the first VR bundle, G-rated Lucky's Tale.
Yes.
Very happy about that.
Yes. There's a lot of couples who are like, what is that noise at 2 in the morning? Like, playing right? Words with Friends.
The bubble noise, right? Yeah, I have to put it on. Ooh, that's good.
Oh, thank you.
Do you do voiceover for a living?
I do.
You should.
On occasion, yes, I try to. Oh, thank you. I have to use that for actually marking, you know, wave files and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Works great.
Oh, and you can see it and hear it.
That's right. Or use a clicker. But I think you use a clicker, too, don't you?
Clicker.
Okay, well, we'll teach you that one.
Okay. I just stop and keep doing it till I get it right, and then I cut it out.
Very cool. All right.
I'll show you a faster way.
Yeah, yeah. We have a much faster way. We'll actually give you an old EWABS clicker. There are still 4 left.
I thought you just trained dogs with them.
No. You train your voice with it. Alrighty, let's see here. Now, this new TV show. We talked about the new TV show with John Bailey. That's an actual video TV show, or is it animation or what?
Huh?
The show you're doing with John Bailey.
Oh, I'm not doing with John Bailey. F is for Family. I'm doing with Bill Burr.
Oh, Bill Burr. That's
yeah,
right. Yes.
Yeah. It's
I'm old.
Phil it's kind of like a Family Guy.
Yeah.
Times 10. Like it's raunchy.
Okay.
So they had to hire an adult to play the daughter. Because she says bad things. And,
but she had to be older than 18.
I think so.
Okay.
But in any case, it's hilarious.
Okay.
And it's with Laura Dern plays my mom.
Ooh.
And Justin, what's his last name? He's really cute. He plays the son. And Haley Reinhart plays my brother. Super funny show. Trevor Duvall's in it. And it's on Netflix. There's 6 episodes now. And I'm hoping we'll get picked up. I'm not saying we did or we didn't get picked up, but I'm not saying we didn't. And I'm not saying we did, but I'm hoping there'll be more episodes.
Fun doing on camera? It's very different from doing voice, obviously. Or is it?
I think it, on camera versus voice, totally different because I can look so spastic. And I do. When I'm doing voiceover, I always go like cross-eyed, mm-hmm. and you can do it in your jammies. And on camera, it matters what you look like, and you have to be still. Well, I guess in voiceover, you have to be still also, but on camera, you can't like move out of the frame.
Right.
And usually I can play kids on the microphone, but I have to play a grown-up on TV. Unless I'm a boy. I played a lot of boys. Did you know that?
I noticed that.
Yeah.
It seems to be part of your repertoire.
But on body, too, like Free Willy. Did you know I'm the one that rode the whale for the boy in Free Willy, the first one?
I did not know that.
Yeah, what? They needed a scuba diver who was the size of a 12-year-old boy. So they flew me down to Mexico City. And by the way, I would never take the job again because I don't now believe in whales in captivity.
Right.
But at that time in my life, I was just, you know, focused
on... You need a job.
Well, I didn't. Right. I didn't think about how horrific it was for Keiko, the whale.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want people to think I would take the job again, but it was an amazing experience being able to ride the whale and to drown and have him rescue me. I was just his rat toy, basically.
Mm.
But that was very cool.
Oh, very
and
cool
I
indeed.
Was on iCarly a couple recurring episodes.
That was a great series.
Right?
All right, I'm an adult, an older adult, but it was a well-written series.
It was.
And it was fun to watch.
It was a fun show. You know, and I think Miranda has a new show.
She does.
She?
She's on with, what's his name? The guy who talks really monotone. Oh, what's his name?
Ben Stein?
No, not Ben. No, that's no. Ben Stein talks monotone, too. We all know who I'm talking about.
We do.
Me.
Somebody email it in to George.
It'll be in the chat room in 30 room. Seconds. Okay. Now you have a new book.
Yay, I have a new book.
I know we'd get to the book eventually. But.
Because so many people study with me, and they all want to know the same thing. How do you get into voiceover?
So you know, people ask me that all the time. How do you get into voiceover?
So I wrote The Secret. It's in this book right here between Dan and I. Voiceover 101, how to succeed in voiceovers. Not like that. And it also
it's worked for you.
Is the first book of its kind that has like you can get an ebook of it, and it has links to the videos where I show you how to talk like a baby.
Oh, but how interactive!
If you get the hard, the soft cover book, it has QR codes.
Ooh, cool!
So you can QR code the
smart.
Thingy here on the page and go straight to the video of me showing you how to cry like a baby, bark like a dog, evaluate copy, how to. I don't know, sneeze, bark, cough, things like that, that it's hard to describe in words.
Don't people know how to sneeze and cough? I mean, it's amazing. How, Pat Fraley always has this thing. And wherever he is, it's like, hey, you want to hear how we do a baby or how Mel Blanc would do a baby cry?
Yeah, Pat actually showed me.
No.
Pat's one of the one people that trained me. But if... Just for this show,
okay.
I want to say
we have
that
a special here, folks. It's
you
like
guys,
it's like QVC network. Here.
QVC. If you buy this book today, and it would look great on you, if you go to your PayPal, see that little thing. Where's my finger point? That way.
Right.
I have to point that way. Right.
Right. There.
info@debbiederryberry.com. Go to the PayPal there. It's $15. I think you have to pay $18 on PayPal so I can send it to you. But if you buy it today, I guess the first 20 people that get it, I will send you an autographed Debbie Derryberry picture with all my characters on it.
But wait, there's more. that's the more.
This is the more.
Okay.
There it is. And if you go to Comic-Con, you have to wait in line for that, which I will be at this year.
Cool. Where is it this year? Well, it's everywhere, but where is it coming up?
Let's see. My current conventions, I will be in July at the San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And then in October, I will be in, no, September, I'll be in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Animate Florida. And then in October, I'll be in Winnipeg at Canada Comic-Con in Manitoba, I guess. So that's all the ones coming up. And there you go.
Wow.
So I'm pretty excited about my book. And it does start from the very beginning. So if you don't have any voiceover experience, I've explained everything down to the beginning so you won't be so confused.
That's a lot to learn.
It's all in the book.
Oh, okay. The QR code thing is...
I could have just skipped the last 15 years and just gone right
just
there.
Just read it, roadmap.
No, the QR code thing is a really clever idea.
Thank you.
I don't understand why more people aren't using QR code stuff because it makes total sense. Like, there you go.
Well, for those of you that want the paperback, so many people do Kindle and you can just click to the link.
Yeah.
But for me, I like to turn the pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I put them on my new business cards.
Do you?
Clicks on there and it goes, takes you right to my website.
Oh, I thought it went to F is for Family or something.
No. I can have that extra link on my website if you'd like.
But I would like to take the credit for thinking of the QR codes. I think one of my students thought of it or something, or Riverstad, Harvey, or something. In any case, it was a darn good idea. You're right,
George. Darn good idea.
Nobody copy me. Nobody copy me. It's mine.
And if you do, give her credit.
Yeah. Or exactly. George.
And by the way, one of the voice actors on a show that you're on, or was it Patrick Warburton?
Patrick chance? Warburton, that's who it is.
Okay.
Someone in the chat room.
I knew someone would come up with that eventually.
Justin Long is on F is for Family. He plays Justin my brother. Long. Sorry, I forgot his last name. Sorry, Justin, but you're really funny.
I know him as Dr. Lexus.
Okay.
That's an inside joke for the couple million people that have seen the movie Idiocracy.
You know, when you're like me, I don't get anything, so I always just act, oh, yeah.
Dr. Lexus.
I don't have any idea. Okay.
Yes. So we're trying to name drop, and it's like, wait, I can't even remember the names we're trying to drop.
I'm not good at the name dropping.
Yeah. Look it up. It's very funny.
I have some other things I want to just pop up on the side.
But wait, there is more.
There is more. I've been at it a long time. Okay, you're each getting like.
And
we're gonna go
to audience questions soon here.
Yeah,
we ain't kicking you off quite yet.
Yeah, you got a while yet.
Yeah.
So back in my country music days, which you can still get on my website, debbiedairyberry.com, I had two country albums out. And let's see, we've got Exactly As You Are and Clueless You. Pretty much all songs written by me with like a Dixie chick, three-part harmony. And there's me on the back pregnant. See that?
Wow.
I was a honey pig.
Yeah.
And then I moved into preschool music when I had a kid, and I recorded all my kids' songs. And I wrote this one song called Baby Banana that went to number one on the charts for XM Sirius. And that was on the preschool album What a Way to Play. Then I wrote Very Dairy Berry, and then I had another album, Baby Banana, which is a song that went to number one. Then I wrote a book called Baby Banana and the Licorice Tree. So if you have preschoolers, there's some stuff for you to get.
Awesome.
Cool.
There, I did it.
Remember last time you were on, I think one of your children was playing piano in the background, and you had to just close the door.
Yeah, he was taking piano lesson
while you were on.
He quit piano, and then he rejoined piano. Now he just learned... Downton Abbey. Do 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 do. Thanks for remembering. Sorry about that interruption last time.
That's okay. That's fine. Let's see here. Now, a little bit on technique here, because clearly there's a lot of technique to doing character actors and stuff. Most of the time in voiceover today, or in voiceover acting, although as we like to say, most people are doing voiceover acting.
Yeah.
In voice acting, people are supposed to be themselves.
Yep.
That's the trend, to sound as conversational as possible and
right.
stuff. Character acting for animation, totally different. But still, there's a lot of technique. What is the essence of really doing character acting as opposed to just being yourself? To you, what's your philosophy on that?
Okay, kind of twofold. One's technical, one's kind of being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But in the audition process, when the copy says, we really don't want it character-y, we want it very natural, they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, good.
I mean, because they think they want it natural because that's the thing to say. But then when they end up casting you, they want it very character-y. When people have high energy behind the mic, also their pitch goes up too.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge to be able to get your energy up and keep your voice down here. Because most people, when they get their energy up, they go into the stratosphere, right?
Right.
So technically, that's one thing you want to do. In my book, I talk about placement. So technically, again, if you're not going to be channeling your grandma, you know, you can channel somebody you know. Or
your grandfather or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or your dog or somebody that you get the feel for.
Right. There's a lot of anthropomorphosis goes on in our house, so.
I talk about my book about placement, whether if I was doing the vowel A, is the A down in my diaphragm? Is it here in my chest? Is it here in my mouth? Is it here in my nose? Is it here in my eyes? So the same vowel you can put in different places and start there. Mm-hmm. I like to use this example of a teenager.
Okay.
So say I was doing your typical teenage voice. So, yeah, I'm going to school, and then afterwards I have to babysit my brother. So, if that's the copy or the script, that's what everybody's going to read. I'm going to school, and then afterwards I have to babysit my brother. How's my audition going to be different? I'm going to put some pre-life in there. Yeah, after school I'm going to babysit my brother. Well, maybe she has braces, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can layer your character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so after school, I have to babysit my brother. So all of a sudden, your audition has a little bit of layer to it. Maybe she's absolute the B word.
Mm-hmm.
So after school, I have to babysit my brother. And then maybe she's from the South, okay? So you put another layer in there. So, yeah, after school, then I have to babysit my brother. So you just kind of layer in all the things that you can do. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do everything.
Right.
I mean, I'm not D. Bradley Baker. I can't do a squirrel like him, but I can talk like a baby like nobody's business, or a teenager, or a little boy, or their granny. And you can... you know, you can Maggie Smith up your grandma. You can take your grandma down to Arkansas.
Or Texas.
Yep. And
North Carolina.
And the animation accents, they don't have to be spot on.
Right.
They can be, you know, your cartoon fake. And it's fine. Because you end up taking a number of characters and, you know, you can, if you do an Australian accent, an English accent, or Chinese accent, whatever. All my Asians sound the same, by the way. Except for his don't. My friend Dave Chen's here, and he's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've learned in doing a little bit of animation that, you know, I tend to try and imitate something and then drag it in the direction that it needs to go. For example, I have a character who's a nasty flower, and we have to... And I'm like, well, maybe he sounds nasty like Joe Pesci. So I started talking like Joe Pesci, and all of a sudden, it suddenly came to life like that. But I had to take it up another notch, and that's what made him really work. So it's really, it's adjusting from a center point, and then you go from either direction.
Right, you find something that you can do, that you can channel, like Joe Pesci,
right.
And you can put him in the different situations. Like, what if you're Joe Pesci... had braces. Let's do that one.
Don't press you had braces? There you go. Hey, you think I'm funny?
Right?
Do I amuse you?
Okay, now let's make him very nervous.
Okay.
So you got your Joe Pesci.
Got my Joe Pesci with braces, and he's really nervous.
Pretend I'm going to show you the back of my hand at any moment, okay?
And I'm really nervous.
Yeah, okay?
Okay,
so
yeah.
This is how you start building characters.
Right. And that's how easy it is, folks.
It's just piece cake. Go home, try it, take my job.
And then just stay consistent through the entire 6, 12,
right.
48
and
seasons of your show.
That's a challenge because you want to be able to have your character go to tears, go to laughter, and find the funny. Which in animation, if you look on your screen as you're recording, whether it's commercial or animation, to me, I can sort of look at it and see whether it's funny or not. And it has to do with... the juxtaposition of your one emotion butt up against another, right? So if you're, I can't stand it anymore. Ah! So something really loud and crazy next against another emotion. But you have to believe each one and get there really quick.
Right.
Because the listener, I think, loses interest after 2 or 3 seconds or less. You just don't want any blank space. So in your auditions, you can clip it out.
Ah, smart.
I bet you never thought of that.
Editing something out?
No, never. That's why our show is live.
That's why we do it live. Make no mistake about that.
I'm having a drink of beverage.
Okay, good. And then you can grab a ukulele, because we have to go to a break here. But I have to do a live read, but you could, like, play while I'm doing the live read.
I will.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
I'm going to do that in the back.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I'll just, like, instrumentalize you in the background.
Just a little bit, because we have to talk about VO2GoGo.com, which is our good friend David H. Lawrence,
do
the 17th.
Go. Okay. Yeah.
All right. You know, VO2GoGo.com's voiceover curriculum is a 5-time winner of the Backstage Magazine's Reader's Choice Award for Best Voiceover Classes and Best Voiceover Teacher, David H. Lawrence, the 17th. Yes, indeed. Now, it's 36 classes online or in person across a year-long course featuring not just classes in the art of voiceover, but also in the commerce and science of running your voiceover business. And each month's class day includes a workout class for all participants. All right. Now, for March, VO2GoGo students will begin a 2-month journey into how to voice fiction audiobooks, nonfiction audiobooks, and how to master recording for ACX and Audacity, and mastering your profiles on ACX. David's just going to love this. Anyway, we have one last class in Burbank for the month tomorrow, with only two seats left for participants. Now, to get more details on that and sign up for the pro membership to save money, you go to vo2gogo.com/VOBS. Remember, use vo2gogo.com/VOBS. Keep amping. So David knows this. You heard it from us. Or you heard from us. All right. vo2gogo.com. Everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. We'll be right back with Debbie Derryberry and taking your questions here on VOBS right after this.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology,
business,
and good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittem.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
VoiceOver Body Shop, where you can learn everything from mic technique to how to market your voiceover business to acting your way out of a wet paper sack, which is my favorite, by the way.
All right. Well, you know, we have another live read. This is the time we have to do a live read at the beginning of the break and at the end of the break. So I get to do another live. Yes, and that's how it works. Because we need to talk about our great friend and sponsor of 5 years. By the way, this is our fifth anniversary, George and I, working together on this show. So you can applaud now.
Yay!
Right?
Yay! Yay! Woo! Woo!
Yay! Right. And we'd like to thank Harlan for doing that. But we'd like to thank him more by telling you to go over and buy stuff at his site. Because he's got more stuff than you could possibly imagine for, you know, helping out your voiceover career. I mean, aside from the great books, like his own book and all everybody else's book, are you going to sell your book on there?
You know what? I need to, because Harlan may not know this, but I push his porta booth all the time.
Yep.
Like when I have my classes, I let everybody know that for your bang for your buck, I think the porta booth is the way to go. There's so many different ways you can mount it.
Yep.
I use mine when I travel, and I just put a little Apogee mic inside. I put the light on my phone, but of course I have the old one, but don't I just advertise it all the time? Jill has one. Yeah. Thanks, Harlan.
It works great.
You need to push my book now. No, it's a great, Harlan has a great invention there.
Okay. So make sure you get your book over there and then you can buy it there.
I love you, Harlan.
Yes. Plus all the other great stuff he has, like everything you could possibly need for voiceover. And the best way to get to his site is you go down to the bottom of the page you're watching the show on right now. And you see that little picture of Harlan talking into his porta booth, where it actually says, Porta Booth, and that takes you to his amazing website. Good work, George.
All you know what I like best? I like the music behind the how to set it up. I always play people that video. I like that little soundtrack he has behind it. Sometimes I just play it.
Yeah. I wonder where he got that from. We'll have to ask him about that. But there's the instructional video right there.
Is this it right here, lady?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
She's putting the ABS on the...
the little luggage thing so it doesn't get weighted funny.
Right, or the boom jockstrap, as I like to refer to it as.
Boom jockstrap.
Yes,
boom
the jockstrap. ABS. The it's wait.
Oh, it's trust me.
Never mind.
It's point.
Dream, yeah, but it's good
trust
jazz.
Us, it works, yeah. Anyway, because Harlan's a great guy. But all you have to do is go to his website, find all this great stuff that he has there. You can order it there. He guarantees it. If you don't like it, you can send it back. He might swear at you, but he will make sure that it doesn't, that you don't have to pay for it, which is really nice. If it doesn't work for you, but his stuff works. The headphones, what else does he have? He's got the VO microphone.
Is the racks? The racks that hold everything?
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's got that stand.
The stand for your porta booth, yeah, and stuff?
Oh, I said rack. I meant stand.
Well, that's okay.
It's a rack, too. So, anyway. But George is actually talking into a VO1A, so we get a shot of George talking
this
into
the VO1A. Actually, let me pull in the shot. There's the VO1A microphone by Harlan Hogan. So you hear me on it every single episode. You hear how great it sounds.
Right.
Because George usually sounds like this,
but that microphone is so good it just makes it sound so
on a Neumann TL-103, I'm a mess. But on the VO1A, beautiful.
All right. But anyway, Harlan Hogan at voiceoveressentials.com. Go over there and buy his stuff and tell him we sent you. All righty. Thanks, Harlan.
We did it.
5 years. My God. Anyway. So we have some questions from our audience here.
Yay.
There was one that was written in. It was actually written to George and I, but it made sense.
Which camera do I look in?
You're looking in this one. It doesn't look like a camera, but it is. You know, there's one
up there.
I should
have asked that before we started.
That's okay.
You've been doing it naturally. You didn't even think about it.
Don't worry about it. All right. So anyway, question from Phil King. He says, Dan and George, hello from the UK. Love your YouTube channel. My question is in regards to character demos and is in two parts. I hope that you can answer on your next show when you have a specific guest that can answer. Amazing. In regards to voice reels, I know the industry is getting more niche in that people are recording separate animation demos and video game demos, etc. Rather than a specific character demo, my question is, how many different characters do you need on a demo? And two, what type of characters do I need to record? For example, what characters do I need to do to show my range, age, archetype, that sort of.
That sounds like a what's my favorite color question.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
In answer to your question, if you are deep in the VO business, you can do a separate video game and animation demo. If you just want to do one, then I would say you probably have room for 6 to 8 characters, two of which better be video game related. So for men, I would say you got to get in your natural voice, a monster, a soldier, a hick, your natural accent, and then for video games, you want to get in your asshole general. I can't say that word. Huh? You're really jerky.
This is the internet,
honey. Really don't worry about it.
There's no FCC here.
No.
And if you can do a pinched little troll kind of voice, and then there's usually for the end of it, you'll want to have a little bit of video game, and that's going to include battle sounds of getting hit and hitting. And then you'll also want just a tiny bit of dying. Which, interestingly, I do this in class, but when you die, there's no inhale at the end of that. So just remember, your death has to be... So it's... And so you want to do a small death, a medium death, and then the Shakespearean blood-curdling death. But all of it needs to fit into 60 seconds or less. If you're going to apply for an LA agent, it's definitely less.
I had no idea you were going to have such a concise answer to that question.
I do this all the time. No, I help people with their videos. And really, if you're going to do a separate video game demo, there is a whole, like I said, there's different niches for every facet of voiceover. And video game is no different. There are separate casting directors that just do video games. You can have, 10 casting directors that you would want to submit your video game demo to. And that would be different than your animation voices because they don't there is a call for more squeaky character ones, but, ask Steve Bloom. There's more, and Fred Tatasciore. If you can do a variety of them, they can use you more for video games because in the video game contract, you get 3 voices, and they usually want you for more. So it saves them money if they can throw 10 voices at you.
Hmm.
Good to know.
I hope that was helpful.
Well, that certainly answered Phil's question.
Sounds like he should now buy that book.
You should buy the book.
Because he owes you.
Yes. He'll be watching this on YouTube. He's in the UK. He doesn't stay up that late.
And you should also learn how to do this. And then if you drink water, it helps you when you're drowning. Mm-hmm. Or if you're crying, like say you don't have any allergies and you're crying that day. See all that suck and soup? Sounds like you're crying and you have snot and you don't use
it. Sounds disgusting. I love it.
Yeah. It's animation. It's show business. Anyway.
I share my secret.
There's actually people watching, but not a lot. Okay. What was that all about?
That's so that you don't have to turn your head because
you
it gets
mic.
Really shiny.
Oh, okay. No, it's because the mic's
up
here.
This is a solar panel for a sex machine.
Yes, okay. Devox asks, with that distinctive voice, does Debbie do anything to warm up and exercise and take care of her magnificent voice?
What a nice question.
I added the magnificent in there.
Oh, but she may believe it.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, I don't smoke. I don't stand around people that do smoke. I try to get plenty of sleep, drink lots of water. I try not to drink coffee before a recording session or any milk products. Warming up, just singing along with the radio or, doing your any singing exercise warm-up is going to be what you use for voiceover. I try to explore all the areas of my, and then all the vowels, O, E, I, O, U, L, L, L. So it looks ridiculous, but that's how I do it.
Nobody's watching, though. Don't worry about it.
Oh, they're not?
No.
Oh, yes, they are.
They're watching TV, but if you're doing your warm-up exercises, nobody's watching you do your own warm-up exercises when you do that in the morning.
I mean, your mouth is full of tons of muscles, right?
Yes,
they are. I always use this example, but like when you do your first cartwheel, it kind of sucks. Second cartwheel's a little better. By your 10th cartwheel, you're getting a little better.
I still haven't gotten there, but go on.
Well, maybe something else that you get better at with time.
Right, right.
And there's just a lot of muscles in your mouth. So when you read your piece of copy that comes your way, you'll want to – my lucky number is like 7. By the time I read it 7 times, I can say all the words and meet all the beats and find the arc in it and make it sound like I'm not reading it, which is – you know, as we know, the key to voiceover is making sure that you can look at the words, get them off the page, and not make it sound like you are reading what you are talking about.
Do you think the... Let me turn on my own mic.
There we go. Do you think the more ridiculous your face feels when you're doing it, the more likely you're probably getting in the right direction?
Yeah.
You know, the more you feel your face contorting as you emote?
Like, by the end of an animation session, it should feel like you finished a football game as a cheerleader. You know, it's it's a lot of that because you don't get your face with it. Like when you're on stage or you're on camera, you can have your facial mugging. You're kidding. No. Well, you don't get that beat in it. So you have to make all that sound. And there's many sounds that don't read. Like a yawn.
Right.
The first half of a yawn is silent, right? So you have to... You have to sound the first half of a yawn. You have to sound the first half of a sleepy, you know, if it's just Z's. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I hope that answers it.
That did. It did. Okay. Next question. First, I have to balance out
size 4. They wanted to know the size of my feet. There's my shoe. Aren't these cute?
I like
I'm going to pan down.
It's very
nice. My new shoes. You can't even see them, but I got new shoes.
Here's a shot. This shot will get your shoes.
Okay. There's my shoes.
Three,
I'm holding them up.
Two,
ready?
One.
Three,
and shoe shot.
Almost.
Oh, no.
A little,
can't
little.
See them.
There.
Oh, there they
there you
are.
Go.
My shoes. They're tiny size 4s. If anyone has size 4s, send them to me. Because I can't find shoes in my size, but I'm so proud of my
I think my daughter
ones.
Will in about 4 months. No, I'm just kidding. She's not quite
Probably.
There yet.
Is she 10 years old?
No, she's 7.
So I don't know what brought me to shoes.
Okay. Marsha Bennett asks.
Marsha, hi!
Yes, when recording animation, do you do solo or in the studio, or are you with the whole cast? We were sort of talking about that before. Now, do you ever do stuff like from home where it's, you're just doing those voices for a show, or when you do a show, is it usually with the other cast? Or
I'd what? Say that there is the rare occasion when you will re-record maybe a line from home. Generally, you record at their studio so they can get everything even. For video games, I've never recorded with anyone else ever. For the bigger cartoons, if you get like a Nick or a Disney, what?
What's Dan doing with his hand?
He's tapping.
Oh, that's something else you can't do in voiceover that you do on camera. You can't hit their legs, can't clap.
I thought there was a parrot in here tapping at the wood.
No, there might be a bird.
No, Conrad's in his cage.
Conrad in his cage, okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So I forgot what I was talking about.
You were talking about working with other people in ensemble casting.
It's so much fun working with other people. I don't do it a lot anymore. Sometimes. I think it's quicker for them to record you separately, which kind of weeds out the real voice artists from the non-video artist, because you really have to be able to respond and emote as if you just heard somebody say something to you. So when you're reading your copy, I always try and ask myself a question or read the line before it to kind of get you into it.
So it's on the way, it's kind of working in your favor. It's not as fun, but it's kind of working in a seasoned voice actor's favor that they're doing that, because screen actors are getting a heck of a time with that.
Yep. Yes, they do. But it doesn't seem to matter how bad a job they do, does it? I got better now.
I think I rubbed some salt in them there.
Out!
All right, Devox has a question, and Devox, you're in big trouble. For voices like Debbie's, are there any particular mics, etc., that seem to work better or worse? Anything to pay more attention in setting up the personal studio environment?
I think that's really a question for you and George, but for me, I have found that I use the a Rhodes that I think picks up more of my bass because I have less of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would probably want one that picks up less treble. I think in general, the mics these days are probably 10 times better than a mic you would find 10 years ago. So you can adjust it any way you want. But if you really tend to one way or the other, there probably are mics that George could answer this better than me, really. Because I call.
Well, I think one thing that's a misconception about picking mics is people will say, I have a high voice, so I need a mic that picks up a lot of high voice. Like, no. It's kind of the opposite. It's like, if you're already if you're already heavy, you don't want to shoot from the bottom. You know, you're not trying to make yourself look heavy, whatever. So it's the same with a mic. You want to pick one that works against your, or works, complements what it is that you don't have or do have. You know, that's, so for women, maybe a mic that's darker, like Debbie said, is better.
Right.
And for men with really crazy deep voices, a mic that's brighter, you know?
Right. Brings out the real you.
And if you want to know what works for your voice, then you can call George or Dan and send them your sample, and they will let you know what works the best for you, because we can't all wear all the hats.
Drop it in the specimen cup.
Yes.
Nicely, that's good.
Nicely done. No, I actually have a specimen cup on my homepage.
Okay.
You just click on that. You can send us audio, and we'll be glad to listen to it. Let's see here. Marcia asks, how long are you in the studio per day for weeks for a typical animated series?
The animation session lasts 4 hours. It depends how they pay it. Generally, in a Nickelodeon cartoon or a Disney cartoon, they get you for a 4-hour session, and it'll be once or twice a week. If it's a particularly straining session, like I forgot to talk about Tasmania. That was a really fun show when Jim Cummings did the Tasmanian Devil. I played his little brother, Jake, and both of us had these difficult voices, so we always recorded on Friday for 4 hours in the end of the day, so we'd have the weekend to recuperate. Yeah. Because that it's hard, and I always tell my voice actors, if it hurts, don't. Anything you can't sustain for 4 hours or 8 hours, just don't bother auditioning, because if you can't hold that voice for that whole time, you're no good to anybody, especially yourself, because you could damage it. You only have one set of vocal cords. Once you wreck them and you get nodes on them, then you're, SOL.
Right. All right. Carol Spencer Morgan joining us from Australia.
She has three names.
I know.
So fancy.
Lovely,
Carol.
Girl. And she's in Australia having lunch watching us right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Having lunch. We're almost dinner tonight.
Right. It's the future, Carol. What's happening tomorrow? Anyway, she asks, after getting started in the voiceover business, how do you think you've changed or grown as a person due to your professional experience? Ooh, deep.
I become bitter. No, for me, I don't think my life has changed. I pick up my dog's poop and I have to get my kid off to school. So for people, like when you said, you know, I'm well known in voiceover, I don't know, it doesn't feel like that to me. I'm really grateful for the business. I'm grateful for my job. In voiceover, we are always replaceable. So I think there's a little humbling aspect to that. It's not like we're the cast of Friends, I'm dating myself, but where you can negotiate because, no, your face isn't going to show up. Well, I know there's a million people who can sound like me and not as good, but, you know, if they want to do it and I, you know, put too many bargaining chips on the table, I'll just be out of luck. So I just live my life like everybody else does. And I don't drive a fancy car and I look for bargains like everybody else. But I do love what I do, which I think is the bottom line in anything. You just have to find your passion and go with it. And like I said, thank God there's a way to make a living when you sound like me.
That helps. All righty. Hanson Benson. That's your name, Hanson Benson?
Hanson Benson. He can, like, flip it and nobody would know. Benson Hanson. Hanson, that's Hanson, right. Benson.
Yes. Hanson, Hanson. Any advice on voicing a boy?
Well, you got to stand outside schools and listen a lot.
Which, if you're a man, yeah, I don't recommend might, yeah, doing that.
It could be a little bit of a problem.
I think it's really important to channel the personality. Because, as you know, it really doesn't matter what placement you sound like. Because, I mean, Stewie, full-grown man, right? Or Bob's Burger. That's not a boy. I mean, it's a boy, but it's a girl. But you know what I'm saying. As far as little boys, they usually have more gravel in their voice, which I don't. I have a clear voice. So I kind of pinch it. You know, talk. I kind of make it out the side of my mouth. And depending how old he is, it depends on how high he goes or how low he goes. And then you layer it with whether he's a wimp, shy, a bully. And if you get my book,
show the book. Some you tips. Show the book again.
Oh, yeah, my book again. I don't know if you saw it, but here's my new VoiceOver 101, How to Succeed as a Voice Actor.
You wore blue on the cover of the book. We said specifically no blue.
You're right. Look at that.
It's just showing right through into West Hollywood.
My hand behind it. I'll cover my rack.
Okay.
Well, see how I didn't wear blue?
Very nicely done. Our wonderful producer makes sure people don't wear blue on our
Kathy
show.
Kathy threatened me.
Otherwise, you know, if you're wearing a blue shirt, you'd just be a floating head on here.
Which we've done that.
Yes. Yes, right. It's been done. Okay, Nathan Cundev asked, because you are coaching. Are your classes on Skype or some other video type of thing, or do you do them locally?
I do Skype as individual sessions, so my Skypes are all private. My classes I do once in a while, and you'll have to just go to Debbie Derry Berry VoiceOver Classes on my Facebook page to find out when I'm teaching. I don't take many people. I have like 5 people per class when I do them. I'll do a beginning class. I do an advanced class. But if you want to coach individually, there's the email right there. info@debbiederryberry.com.
Right. Isn't that hard to do?
It's like, how do yoga teachers do that? There it is. Email me there.
Persons.
And I can give you information on private coaching there.
Outstanding. All righty. Marcello Espinosa says, hi, Debbie. Got a quick question for you. Do you miss doing the voice of Coco from the Crash Bandicoot games? And would you do her voice again?
Very much. Every day. In a heartbeat. Yep. And I sometimes forget what she sounds like, but my people remember.
Yep. Oh, good.
No, I'd do her again in a second. That didn't sound right. Yeah, Coco is easy to do because it's very close to me. But, yeah, I guess that's the answer.
Okay.
You know what else I'd do again? Jimmy Neutron. Would all of you please write to Paramount and tell them it's time for another feature film? I'd like that.
Hint, hint.
Don't make it about Sheen this time.
Don't ever make it. Okay, Sheen can be in it a little bit. No, it has to be about me.
Can I do this one? Because it's the Low Bass Man.
You can do the Low Bass Man.
Question. It's from the Low Bass Man.
When they are casting for a monster or menacing character where they want a deep voice, do they prefer an actual deep-voiced actor, or do they just pitch a normal voice down via technology?
There's the key word. They.
Yes. They.
There is no they. Everybody's an individual, so I suppose if I see an audition that, if I was a guy and I saw a deep voice audition and I saw the copy, the first way I read it would probably be the way 99% of the people read it. Hmm. So what you want to do is stand out. So why don't you throw them that monster with a Italian accent, or that same monster flamboyantly, or that same monster with a side lisp, or that same monster in a pinched troll voice. Surprise them. Give them what they want on the first take, but for the second take, give them something completely that they weren't expecting. I think that's my best answer. So really, there is no they. People fresh out of college will be like, I'm going to write a series, and my uncle works for Yakety Schmack, and he will buy it, and I'm going to cast it and voice direct it. So there's your they.
There's a lot of theys, actually.
They are the.
There is. You know?
It's amazing how many people are just, you know, and a lot of actors are getting into producing, and, you know, after they've done a show for a few years, suddenly you see their name as the producer. Whether they actually do anything or not, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. It's all true, but I'm not going to talk about that train.
Okay, we won't go there. Amy Serenzi, question for Debbie. She would be a great kindergarten teacher. Before her voiceover career began, were you ever a teacher involved in kids' education programs of some kind?
Never. See? But I had my kid, and I loved singing to him, and one of my cousins said, why don't you record your kids' songs? So I did, and then I started playing all over the country. I played at every single Barnes & Noble practically in the United States, and I've done my kids' show there, and you can go to my website and my YouTube channel, Debbie Dairy Berry, and see all my kids' videos. So I do love singing for kids and reading to them. And they love me, and I don't know, they stare at me, and they're like, she's grown up, but she sounds funny. But that's very sweet, and I admire all teachers everywhere, because I don't know how they put up with, especially middle schoolers, all day. Preschoolers at least get a nap.
Yeah, having taught middle school, I can relate.
You taught middle school?
I taught middle school.
I'm so sorry. What subject?
Social studies.
Oh, boy. The one that they're really interested in.
Yeah. But I made it interesting.
That's the irony of social studies. They are absolutely interested in social studies, just not in a formal curriculum.
Or history or geography or any of those things.
Yeah, my son is like, why do I have to learn about this? Who cares?
Because it's important.
Kind of is.
Especially the Constitution. Anyway.
Prove it.
But that's going to do it for us. But you get another chance to plug your book again.
You mean VoiceOver 101, How to Succeed in Voice Acting as a Voice Actor.
Which they can get where?
You can get it at Amazon or Create a Space. Or if you want me to sign it, you can just PayPal me right there.
Right down there where it says
info@debbiedairyberry.com. I think it's $18 and I will sign it and send it to you. And if you want to order it yourself without me signing it, you can just go to Create a Space and get it there. And they'll print it up for you, or you can get the ebook version of it. Either one of them, go to the videos. Did I show them that part?
Yeah, you did.
Let me show them again.
Yeah.
It has QR codes in there so that you can.
Right in there. You can just touch them or get them with your phone or with
any. Yeah, you just get a QR reader on your phone and you can go right to the QR codes and I will show you how to bark like a dog.
That's amazing.
Do you think a book like that lends itself to being an audiobook? Because it seems very rare that voice actors do actually audiobookify their books.
I think that's a great idea. I think I will do an audiobook of this. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for having me on the show.
No,
and thank you guys
pleasure.
For your questions. I love you all so much.
All righty. Well, now it's time to transition to the end of the show where we get to tell everybody what's going on. So, but I think, how do we start that anyway?
I don't know. I just play this little clip here where we play some fun music.
Right.
And we all get to, like, pretend the
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
What happened?
There you are.
What happened?
Now we're back.
What title is that? Is that the right title?
No, that's the thing.
Should we fix that one?
Yeah. You can put like our names there.
How about this one? Is that better?
Hey, you got it.
Hey.
All right.
Show business.
You were wondering who we are.
Professional show business.
That's right.
All right.
This is a professional show. But anyway, upcoming shows. We have some amazing guests coming up. You thought Debbie Derryberry was great. She's going to be hard to top.
That's
no
sure.
question.
Impossible.
Well, makes perfect sense to me. Next, on April 4th, we have another animation person. MJ Lalo will be here.
Sweet. It's animation month.
Oh, she's wild. She'll be great. April 11th, somebody who we've been wanting to get on this show for a long time. Great director, especially in anime. Crispin Freeman's going to be here. And we're going to learn a little bit more about anime. Maybe he'll bring some examples and show us how that's actually done. I've seen him do sessions and stuff like that. It's like, wow, how does he get that?
That's where the voice has to line up with the picture, not the other way around.
Right. And he's really cute.
You can be here as a guest, Debbie.
Yeah, you can come anytime.
I mean, you can be an audience member.
Welcome anytime.
Yeah, we have the same agent. I see him all.
Yeah.
Okay.
April 17th, this camera over here, April 17th, we're going to be at WovoCon. So we may actually...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember?
Awesome.
We get to share a hotel room and hang out with everybody and stuff.
We did upgrade to the suite, didn't
the
we?
Big, the nice suite.
Okay. Yeah, we got rid of the king bed, right?
There was never a king single
just,
bed.
I, it's just a I'm just bed. Making sure...
Not that there's just, anything wrong with that.
I know.
There's two king-size beds.
I'm like,
right?
Yeah.
Opposite sides got of the it. Room. Right. But we're going to be at WovoCon. And I think we're supposed to be by the pool. I think that's where they want to put us. And we may do that live, which would be a Sunday night. So we'll do back to our beginning days and do a Sunday night show.
So it's going to be a splash.
Exactly. And all the people who are at WovoCon, we're going to have a great time talking about what goes on at Wovo and stuff.
Yep.
April 24th, we mentioned Kelly Betrick's going to be with us talking about her Jeep campaign. And then May 2nd, Kif Vanderhoevel.
Yes. Kif Vanderhoevel. Oh, gosh, he's coming on.
Yeah.
I listen to his podcast, all over VO.
Well, very cool.
He's really great.
That's
very talented.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to our donors this week. Who are our donors this
week? Our donors this week are in my inbox.
Oh, let's go to your inbox and let's see who's in your inbox.
To go to my
we know Eric Aragone does.
Yes, Eric Aragone never misses an episode. Thank you. And there it is right at the top. See, if you're really smart, you always time your donations right at the end of the show because it's the first one
first. Exactly.
I will see. Yes. And we've got one from Michael Martin. He's a recurring donor.
Thank you, Michael.
Very much. Sustaining. We've got Patty Gibbons, also a sustaining member or donor. I'd say member. I don't know why. We've got donations from Amanda Fellows, sustaining as well.
Oh, thank you, Amanda.
And my father. Sustaining.
Your father sent us money?
My dad is still supporting me.
He doesn't send you
me.
Money. It's you money. He'll send the show money.
No,
though.
He is still. All these years. Thanks, Dad. Brian Page, sustaining member. Gosh, this is a long list, but I don't want to miss anybody. Brian Scott Kelly. Thank you,
thanks,
man.
Brian.
Gosh, this is fantastic. Joseph Harrison. Maria Makis.
Thank you, Maria.
I hope I'm saying your name. Makis?
It's Makis, I think.
It's Makis. Okay, good. And last but not least. We got a sponsorship, one right there, and another donation from Paul Stefano. Thank you, everybody.
It just goes on and on. Thank you, folks.
Fantastic.
It allows us to upgrade our equipment here and make the show amazing as it is. Like, the teleprompter died. So
yeah, we got a new iPad coming, thanks to you guys. We're going to have a producer in-house to help run the show smoother, thanks to you guys. Thanks to your support.
So I was going to say, you're doing this next, as opposed to, what are we doing
next
year?
They're
going to
keep the guest thing. They're going to keep the temperature right. They're going to keep the food. It's going to be fantastic.
They're going to handle the food, too?
Yes.
Is that in the job description?
Well, it's going to be.
Okay, good. Right. Make sure you write that in. Let's see here. What's happening at Edge, by the way?
What's happening at Edge?
Yeah.
Well, this week I know there's a booth camp coming up. I heard about a booth camp with our booth camp coach, who's none other than
Joe Lesh.
Joe Lesh.
Yeah.
Oh, and I see some more showed up. Woohoo! Our marketing person's on the ball. Johnny Heller is going to be on doing his audiobook workshop. But the one we are talking about this week is indeed Booth Camp with Joe Lesh. And that one you can sign up for at edgestudio.com/booth-camp. And that is going to be in Where is this one going to be, this booth camp?
Los Angeles. Is it New York? Los Angeles, Chicago.
I guess it depends where that particular one is. I'm not sure where this particular one is.
Booth camp. Go to the Edge website and you'll figure it out.
Yeah, register here. Oh, okay, you can register for a lot of them because he's doing one in April 2nd in New York. He's doing one April 30th in Los Angeles. And he's doing May 7th in Chicago. So he's hitting the road.
He is.
He might even take Route 66.
And sing it as he goes along.
Yes, which if you know Joe, yeah. But anyway, that's what's going on around here at Edge.
All right. Oh, and by the way, I'm doing a webinar.
Oh, you are,
April
really?
April 6th with VoiceOver Extra. We're going to talk about room acoustics.
Good deal, man.
So go over to voiceoverextra.com and you can register for that one. Lots of fun. I have go through my house and show you what different rooms sound like.
You'll make sure you come see that podcast, Rheumatism.
Rheumatism. Oh.
Write that one down. Rheumatism.
She's okay. Going to get a cut of that.
Yeah, okay.
If you use that.
All right.
Make sure you come to me, my talk at NAB, where I'm talking about small booth acoustics.
Acoustics, yeah.
Take my ideas and then teach them in your class.
Okay, cool.
Just give me credit.
I need your white paper then.
You do. You will get my white paper.
He's speaking at NAB. Big honor.
I'm very, very flattered.
And I can't wait to see it. Let's see here. What else? Instagram. You know we have Instagram? Alex, do we have Instagram?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have no idea what you do with Instagram. It's for you kids, but for you kids that use it, supposedly we're there.
We have fun off the cuff, behind the scenes, wacky photos, you things, know, just stuff just like, reality.
Like that.
It's all reality on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Twitter. Boy, do we have a lot of Twitter followers now. It's at Eweb Show for some reason. We can't
at _ Eweb Show. I'm going to fix that eventually. But it breaks. Everybody knows that has Twitter. Don't touch the mic. Everybody that has Twitter knows how much of a pain it is if you want to change names because it breaks everything when you do
it. Because we got close to 3,000 followers on Twitter now.
Yeah. We have show logs. We've got the show logs on the website. You can click on it up top. We got the podcast version of the show on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and basically if you just search for VOBS on your phone, that on any podcatcher, you're going to find it. And a lot of people like listening to the show. I mean, more of you are likely listening to the show than anybody else.
Which is why the audio is perfect.
The audio has to be perfect.
Absolutely perfect. People. Yes. Yeah. Let's see. What else we got going on here?
Be in the audience.
Yeah, if you want to be in the audience, show the audience cam here.
Oh, the audience cam. The flyover cam. There it is.
Okay.
Wow, look at all the people on our right. You could be here as the stars come into the VOBS clubhouse here and have fun and ask questions and see how we make this all happen.
Pet doggies and have snacks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Good snacks this week, by the way.
Thanks, sponsors.
Yes, thank our sponsors. Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio.
Source Elements,
Vio2Gogo, and Antland Productions for providing this amazing streaming medium that we have been providing you for the last 5 years.
I just care. I'm just doing it for the stuff.
The stuff?
I like all the stuff, man. I like the gear, and I like the people are nice too. But I mean, I'm a geek. I like the stuff too.
Okay, that's good. That's why you do all the buttons, and I just look in the cam, and that's how it works. Okay, we need to thank also thank Marcy because she was actually here tonight, not feeling 100% today, but she came in and and said hi.
Thanks, Marcy.
Thank you for putting up with this every week.
Hey, Marcy.
Especially with our kitchen still in utter disarray.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Catherine Curran for getting... Oh, Debbie Derryberry.
Thank you, Catherine.
Where does she know all these people from? She's just a great producer. Anthony Gettig for a great job in the chat room tonight. Mm-hmm. Shelley Avellino when he's not around.
That's right.
And let's see. Who else? Jack DeGolia for the show notes. Writing every single word we say. That's
unbelievable.
This show.
Show notes.
And you get them with the YouTube feed on that, and you can just go wherever you want.
It's on our Facebook page. It's everywhere.
Yes. And Lee Pinney, whose birthday it is today, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
It is.
Way to pay attention.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Lee.
I did my show prep today. So happy birthday, Lee Pinney, for being Lee
Pinney. He's a super great guy.
Yes, we appreciate that. By the way, after the show, it doesn't just end. We have a new mugman tonight. Great awesome. New mugman that Jacob's been working on for a while. And so stay tuned for that. And we'll see you next week, I guess.
That's right.
Next Monday night, 6 o'clock here in the Pacific time zone and 9 o'clock out east.
2 GMT.
Yes, or 8:30 or 9:30 in Newfoundland.
Right.
If they actually go to daylight savings time there.
But right.
Why should they? It's light there all the time this time of year. So who cares? Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. All right, we'll see you later. Stay tuned for Mugman, and we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Everybody, clap.
Yeah. Applause. Woo! Applause. Applause.
Ooh, there's a yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Wow, those guys are cool. They have yellow bellies, and they suck sap.
Seems pretty obvious, Pimenta. Hey, there's a red-winged blackbird at the bird feeder.
Whoa, I like birds.
Me too.
Mugman?
What?
Mugman, that's a squirrel.
Yep, that is a squirrel.
I don't like squirrels, Mugman. Can we go inside?
I guess.
Let's go. Let's hide in your room.
Okay. So now what?
Well, maybe we could,
Is there a reason you're in my room right now?
I'm hiding where let's go!
Should I even ask? Weirdo.
I don't know. I should distract myself. What's on TV?
Of course. I left the surveillance feed on.
What does he want?
What is your problem?
Squirrels!
How are squirrels scary?
Well, so, one time when I was 7...
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah!
Huh. Nice kick.